Adam gitmesin ya, 100 lira verecektik ona.
Ha, o bir adamcağız var o.
Don't let him go. Ana burada. Okay.
Burada.
Hazreti Mevlana tells a story long, long ago when people used to go to the Hajj in caravans. A man took to a caravan to go to the Hajj from Baghdad. I went to Baghdad precisely between Jordan and Baghdad. There is a huge, we went 10 hours, nothing, desert. So he took off from Baghdad and with his caravan, went into the desert to go to the Hajj, and somehow he overslept and the caravan left him behind and he was left in the middle of the desert by himself. He sort of walked and walked, tried to find water or something to eat, and days, hot. He is almost about to give his life away from thirst and hunger. Then all of a sudden he sees this tattered, old, torn tent of a Bedouin. So he is happy at least, so he goes to the tent, just about to fall on his face and die. And there is a woman there, a Bedouin woman, and he asks to the Bedouin woman that he is dying from thirst, can he have some water? Oh, she says, yeah, we've got water. She goes and gets something which is sort of brown and hot, you know, from the sunshine. And I mean, the guy is dying out of hunger, so he took it and drank this dirty water which is boiling hot, and it burned his, from his throat to his stomach, but he drank lock, he drank it in water after all. And then he's hungry. A while after, the husband came, the Bedouin, and he has in his hand some desert rats. So, and he's very happy, he gave it to his wife to cook those desert rats to prepare food for the guests. So they cooked a desert rat, disgusting thing, but the guy is dying out of hunger. He ate the desert rats but before the husband came, the man figured out. I mean, he has been out of Baghdad 3 days, and he walked east 2 days, so it must be a day's trip from the tent of the Bedouin to Baghdad. And he said, you know, after he drank the water, he said that, you know, I mean, if you would just take the trouble of walking, you know, towards east a day, you will find incredible water, food, fruits, you know, and all sorts of things, you know. Why do you stay here and, you know, live like this? And so when the husband came, and he's sleeping outside of the tent, but he can hear the conversation inside of the tent, the woman said, do you know what that man told me? That if it would just walk one day, you know, towards sunrise, that there is, it seems, there is a city where there is all the water you want, all the food you want, all the fruits you want, you know, why don't we do that? The man said, don't listen to him. He said, don't listen to him. There are envious people like that, and they come and see how well we are, you know, and they tell us all these funny stories. Salaam alaikum. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran al-Kareem, Estaizu billah, there is an ayat which says, irji ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiya fadkhuli fi ibadi fadkhuli jannati. Come to your Lord. It's an invitation. He pleased with you and you pleased with him, and enter amongst my believing servants and enter my paradise, says he. Who are those people who hears this invitation? When Nimrod, Allah's curse on him, because he claimed to be God, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam told him that he was not, he wanted to punish the Prophet Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and wanted to throw him into fire. Not ordinarily, to make a scene out of it, he built a huge catapult. You know what a catapult is? Yeah? And they put Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam in the catapult, and he built a huge fire, flames reaching the sky, and they threw Hazrat Ibrahim up in the air to fall into the fire. And as Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was flying in the air, Jibril alayhi salam came, the angel, and told him, shouldn't we ask Allah Ta'ala to help you? And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam said, no. Allah Ta'ala sees what is happening to me, and whatever he does with me is fine with me. He's heading to the fire. And at that moment, Allah Ta'ala turned the nar, the flames, into nur, into divine light, and he turned the fire into a rose garden and parachuted slowly Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam into this fragrant rose garden. So if you and I would be afflicted in the worst kind of way, like he was, and we would accept it because Allah Ta'ala is the only fa'il, he is the only one who does things, and it is he who is doing this, not really the tyrant, then the fire will turn into a rose garden. That state in which accepting, not only accepting, but pleasing, being pleased with whatever Allah Ta'ala does, good or bad or worst than you can ever imagine, if that becomes acceptable to you, in fact more than acceptable, that you are pleased with that state, then that ayat is applicable to us. But that state is called Maqam Ibrahim or makam-ı rıza. Now, the people who are attributed that station of makam-ı rıza, how does one reach there? Those are the people who looks at this cigarette, who looks at this ashtray, this table, this carpet, or anywhere, or anything, everything, the air which you breathe, the light through which you see, everything which happens all around us, including what ISIS is doing, including what Obama is doing, including anything which is happening on the face of this planet, is done and created by Allah Ta'ala, and not a leaf moves unless He moves it. If He truly sees this all the time, that nothing exists except His doing, His creation, and He accepts it, and He is pleased with it, then He will be in the state of makam-ı rıza. Now we, my shoulder aches and I complain. My car needs a new radiator and I complain. The weather is too hot or too cold, I complain. And when something good happens to me, I want more of it. I am not satisfied with what I get. And besides, I never attribute it to Him. I say, I did it. I gained it with my own efforts, with my own actions. Now that happens to be true, isn't it, for all of us, more or less? So therefore, I say that this is a difficult task, although we know that to be true, and although we try hard to see it and to somehow or another to try to educate ourselves to barely accept it with sour face and patience. But it seems there is an easier way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith says, when Allah Ta'ala loves a servant of His, He dips His love for him into waters close to Him. Some waters running, little brooks and rivers, some people still like lakes and seas and stuff. He dips His love for that person who He loves into it. And He says, whoever drinks from those waters, He loves them too. Now you are intelligent people. You understood all these complicated things which Efendi was talking about. This is very simple in comparison to it. What does it mean? What does it mean, that hadith? In short, you have to rub shoulders with Him. You have to listen to the guy which Allah Ta'ala loves. You have to try to imitate with Him. He likes fried potatoes, French fries, so you try to like French fries also. There is in the tariqat something which is called levels, is for our advancement. It is called, the first one is Fena fi Sheikh, to lose oneself in one's Sheikh, to be like one's Sheikh. When I was with Muzaffar Efendi, Cemal Abbaci used to say that, what happened? You are talking like Muzaffar Efendi, walking like Muzaffar Efendi, eating like Muzaffar Efendi. Muzaffar Efendi used to like to eat. We used to sit down and talk all sorts of restaurants in Istanbul. And we really did. I liked everything which he liked. He liked muhalledi, I liked muhalledi, you know. And he ate muhalledi with gusto, I ate muhalledi with gusto. So you think this is not important? It is important. It is important. And second goes Fena fi Pir. Then you try to be like Hazreti Pir Nureddin Cerrahi Kudüs-e Serrah el-Fettahi. And then Fena fi Resul. You try to imitate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then there is finally something which is called Fena fi Allah. Who knows what that means? Now, we in this room are, I like to think, all believers. And we have been together for many, many years. We know that we really try and we really believe. And in this room, we are also servants of Allah Ta'ala. We try our best to serve in the name of Allah Ta'ala. Now there is another hadith. And this is a hadith Qudsi. Allah Ta'ala says that if you love each other for my sake, he says, it has become a wajib for me to love you. It's an easy way, isn't it? Much easier than the other. If you love each other for Allah's sake, he says, Allahu Ta'ala, it is an obligation for me to love you. Now look. Look at those children. We are all different from each other. We have different professions. We are of different sexes. We are of different races. We are born in different parts of the world. We have different tastes. Frankly, you know, that I hate to say this, but I would have nothing to do with you if it wasn't that we belong to this tariqat and we are together. I'm 88 years old. I am a Turk. You know, I've got rather a cosmopolitan background. You must have, some of you, read my book. No? And I have got sort of artistic tendencies. And so, who are you to me? I mean, Enver kills bugs. You know, and I don't know what you do. You know, I wouldn't say hello to you. And him. Can you imagine? I mean, a PhD in IBM. How is там просто є. But what is this mystery? I would give my life for you. And not only for you, whoever walks in this room is dearer to me than my own child. This room is sacred. This air which we breathe, we all breathe the same air, we sit on the same floor, in the same space. We pray to the same God, we obey to the same boss, and in our little ways, we try to serve him as best as we can. So then, if this is true, if my feeling is true in you too, or at least in most of you I know, then we are in a good space, we are in a good time. We are drinking this water which Allah Ta'ala has dipped the love which he feels for someone here. I mean, you know, I have always, day one, talk about the importance of unity. And one of the things, the thing which made tariqat attractive to me is that story which I have repeated many times, but it touches me so much, which Efendi, Muzaffar Efendi Rahmatullah Alayh, one day when he told it and everybody cried. You will remember the story, but I will repeat it again. He said, on that day, one is to one's nose in sweat that the sun has come so close to earth. Billions and billions and billions of people is screaming and shouting, Nafsi, Nafsi, on that day of the last judgment. Allah Ta'ala is going to judge Anwar. And in that balance, all what you have to do is to put one more good deed that Anwar is going to enter paradise. Anwar turns to his mother, to his father. Mother, father, give me one of your good deeds so that I don't go to hell. The mother and the father, Nafsi, Nafsi, my child, I am sorry, my child, but I have given you many things during my lifetime, but this is not the time. This is eternal life. I have to think of myself. I am sorry, I cannot give you anything. Then he turns to his son and says, son, give me just one. Oh, father, no, I'm sorry. You know, I have to read of myself. Then far over there in the millions of people, Burak is going to stand up and he will say, my lord, this is my dervish brother. Take whatever you want from me and give it to him so that he enters paradise. And Allah Ta'ala says, oh Burak, my servant, you are generous, but I am the most generous. Hold hand in hand and enter my paradise. Allahu Teala says, hand in hand, hand in Allah's hand. So, love each other, hold each other's hand, help each other, be together. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever loves each other, they are together here and hereafter. Inshallah, as we are close here together, in paradise, we will be together too. Salaam alaikum. Give me a glass of water, half a glass, please. Thank you very much. Getirdin mi mangarı?
Getirdim.
Verdin mi adama?
Verdik.
This kind of relationship some may not like, thinking that I am so close with him that he will want things from me. What a blessing it is that if people would come and want things from you. That person is doing you a great favor. That person is helping you to do a good deed. The purpose of being together is not hoping that you will benefit from this togetherness. It's hoping that you will be of some use to somebody who is in need. But this culture of egoism and egotism teaches us just the opposite. I don't want anything from anybody, and I don't want anybody to want anything from me. Everybody for himself. What a fool is he? He is cursed. When he thinks this way, that he obviously is not in need of the only one who holds all the treasures in the world. He holds this very air. He can just stop it, you cannot breathe. But he doesn't realize that. But when the day will come, precisely that we will not be able to breathe our last breath, then we will understand that air is not free. Wake up. Ibadallah, wake up and hold on to each other. The help which comes from the other is not from the other, it is from Allah Ta'ala. But then you become the instrument of Allah Ta'ala. That's all. Şimdi neden bahsederiz? Söyleme sakın. Evet. Oh, you waited till the end. But when Efendi was here, you realized that once he did, you did that almost in the middle of the book. But then that was a special time, right? Look how chic which he looks with his shoes. Very dainty.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Verecektiniz yoksa ne yapacaktınız bir şey bu Reyhan'ın kızı mıydı Leyla karşınızda oturuyor.
Öyle mi hocam?
Bekleyeceğiz.
You had all those nice questions when Efendi was here. I think they know perfectly well I cannot answer them, so they are not asking it.
Cihan, bir soru sormak istiyorum, müsaade ederseniz.
Evet oğlum.
Selamünaleyküm baba.
Aleykümselam.
In his book Irşad, Muzaffer Irşad, rahmetullah, mentioned how he became a dervish. You know, especially in the
kim?
Muzaffer Efendi nasıl derviş olduğunu anlatmış Irşad'da diyor.
He says, actually, please correct me if I'm wrong. He says there were another tariqa actually also offered him or invited him.
He was a Qadiri dervish.
Yes. For a little while, actually a few months, he spent some time there. Actually, he could have even become a khalifa, I guess. So the road was, the path was open. But then he decided to become a dervish in Jerai.
He didn't decide. Efendi, when about the time which you are talking about, at the time of Fahreddin Efendi, was a Qadiri dervish, and in fact they proposed him to become a Qadiri sheikh. But he dreamt a dream, and as the dream is sort of partially in my memory, I don't want to mention it. And he, well, you read it, right? I mean,
yeah.
Okay. Now, what is the question?
I mean, my question was there a personal reason behind it, or there is something more that he chose?
Definitely more. Fahreddin Efendi's time, probably there was 14 or 15 dervishes, including who is alive today, was Muzaffer Bey, Sefer Baba Kemal Baba were gone. I think that there is only Muzaffer Bey, you know, who there were about 14, 15 people. But at that time also, it was very strict, the law against dervishes and dergahs, etc., you know, because that's almost the beginning of the Republic, which Atatürk forbade the dergahs and the dervishes. And in fact, the dergah was locked, they sealed by the government, that you cannot enter the dergah. And Fahreddin Efendi one day came and broke the seal, kicked the door open, and entered and started, you know. But he had all sorts of difficulties. For instance, they had the harem part of it, which is, you know, the dergah? The house on the right at the entrance is the harem, yeah? And at there was they put purposefully a drunkard, you know, and all the parts of the dergah were sort of rented to awful people. And Fahreddin Efendi came and hit them and kicked them out, you know, and started the dergah. But in any case, it was a very small group, unknown, while Efendi was really a famous hafiz and a famous, preacher, you know, a rather very handsome man. And in fact, Fahreddin Efendi used to call him Ladies Sheikh, because the ladies all were just rolling all over themselves, you know, about Efendi, because he was such a handsome man, you know. And when you see his picture when he's old, and when he was young, I have seen his picture, he was really sort of a dashing young man, a blonde, blue-eyed, you know, rare in Turkey. And so, but somehow that dream, on one side, that he could have been a Qadiri Sheikh, and on the other side, there is this, you know, somebody who hardly knew, and then he passed a few times in front of Fahreddin Efendi. Finally, he decided to tell him the dream, and Fahreddin Efendi also saw same dream, yeah? And he said, "Mashallah, finally you decided to show up." Is that what you're asking?
So that's the reason. So I mean, actually, the bottom line is this: the question is why one can become a jerahi, and or what makes one become a jerahi?
Well, I can tell you. I mean, this is a question, not a jerahi. Why does one affiliate oneself, take the art from, or hold the hand of X, Y, or Z Sheikh Efendi? When Allah rahmet eylesin, did you read my book too? Okay, so you remember there I talk about Münevver Hanım. We accidentally met Münevver Hanım going to Konya to the Mevlana, you know, festivities there. And told her that, you know, we were seeking, we were looking for a master. And she saw us, she showed to us two really wonderful persons. You know, she took us to the houses of these two wonderful, really, really wonderful people. I mean, there was this guy who was very, I think he was a Rifai, very thick eyeglasses, you know, very noble, you know, sort of aristocratic, you know, kind of extremely bright and, you know, very gentlemanly. My Sheikh wasn't. No, he was a, and you know, I liked them all, And besides that, I knew this Sheikh Efendi, the Sheikh Muhayyeddin, well ahead of Efendi, you know, the Sheikh Muhayyeddin, you know, who is also a Qadiri, and who really loved me, and I really loved him, you know. And, but I explained in the book how I got caught. The thing is that, like a young teenager, I fell in love with my Sheikh, you know. And I couldn't, you know, I couldn't just, you know, look at his face, look at his hands, you know. I said, oh my God, how his hands look like my father's hands. And in summer he would, you know, open his shirt like that, and I felt like really going and kissing his chest. You know, I mean, physically, you know, almost. This, of course, is the best way, you know, to... but some people, most people, really want sheikhs who fly up in the air and walk on water, and you know, and of course, you know, nobody is good enough for me, right? I mean, I remember I had cousins. At those days, there was no bridge, you know, and the dergah used to end at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, and I had a young wife. Because at that time, it's only drunkards and awful people on the street. You know, I mean, to come back to our house in Kamlaja was a very, very hard chore. So I have the cousin who is a teacher. I mean, educated, you know. And he used to tell me, what do you see in this fat, you know, bookseller? So Sheikh, whom I was in love with, I would have given my life for him, to him, is a uneducated, you know, bookseller. And at the time of Rasulullah, astaghfirullah, to Abu Lahab, he was a, you know, a nobody and an orphan. So I mean, it doesn't work, this business of. I mean, all the other sheikhs which Binagar Hanum showed me was sort of socially speaking, you know, social level, you know, lived in much better their kirchs, you know, and, you know, aristocratic and, you know, very highly educated, you know, and very nicely dressed and, you know. That is the... It's really to love one's sheikh. That's the most important thing. Because, I mean, like Fahreddin Efendi used to say, I don't want to be respected, he used to say, that I want to be loved, he used to say, Fahreddin Efendi. And that's... And that's what a sheikh would hope too. You know, respect is nothing. You know, you respect one today and tomorrow, forget it. And one doesn't have to. I mean, you know, there are so many people, I mean, Yuzida is here, you know, writes from all over the world, I mean, from Portugal, and, I don't know, Madagascar, from, and they want to be a dervish. What? And the guy is all the way about, I didn't see his face, I didn't touch him, I didn't hug him, I didn't kiss him. You know, how can I take him as my dervish, you know? I would help him, you know, but I wouldn't take him as my dervish, you know? And he shouldn't want me as his sheikh either. But somehow or another, Yurdair, I think, sells me. You know, he's a very good PR man. People think that I'm somebody. This is such a Yusuf. There is a saying in tasavvuf, şeyhi olmayanın şeyhi şeytandır. the one who doesn't have a sheikh, his sheikh is the shaitan. I don't go along with that. I don't go along with that. Even somebody, I told you the other day, Hazrat Mevlana Qudus Rah al-Fattahi, he said that words are nothing. Words is good only for one thing. I mean, if the one who talks is really truly sincere, the best he can achieve is perchance, if the person who hears has a talent, has a potential, the best he can achieve is to create a wish and a yearning, for trying to, reach Allah and trying to be better and to try to be a human being like Allah Ta'ala has meant one to be. But that's all, just a yearning. And the work. Otherwise, why for 30 years, in a way, we are giving a lot of time, lot of energy, lot of reading, lot of making tasbih, lot of prayer. If the words was enough, nobody had better words than Muzaffar Effendi. You should have heard him, no? Then I wouldn't have needed anything else. I would have become a saint. But he did truly create, in me a wish, a yearning to somehow change and do things to get to somewhere. That's all what you can hope for. There is no such thing that the Shaykh looks at you in the eye and you turn into an angel.
Related to what I ask also, question.
Biraz artık. Bilmiyorum yani.
Yok, biraz kısmıştık. Şimdi tekrar açıyor.
What are the differences, or what Cerrahi is different from the other tariqas?
Nothing.
What makes Cerrahi?
Nothing, except that we are. I feel. For instance, in every other tariqat during my 40 years as a dervish, or if you want a sheikh, I have seen many tariqats, when the sheikh dies, there is a whole commotion. Great sheikh dies. He's one of the greatest, the Muhayyadin Efendi. He dies, kıyamet kopuyor. Everybody goes every which way and screams and shouts. And in our tariqat, never in our whole history of there has been any any incident like that. Pop, 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 pop. Somebody dies. Someone takes. Say something. And you go and look at other people's zikrullah and look at even the copy which we do, our zikrullah, you will see the difference, that how organized we are, how disorganized we are. The way that the people prepare the dinner and serve here and this and that, but you cannot find that anywhere else. But then, for instance, I went to the tomb of Hazreti Abdul Qadir Geylani Kudus Sarrah al-Fettah in Baghdad, and on Thursday, wasn't here, there are all these different Qadiris come from. Oh my God! You've never seen something like that in your life. Unbelievable chaos. Screaming and shouting and waving flags and drumming like Gene Krupa, unbelievable, unbelievable. And when I'm thinking what we are doing, and in Masjid Hussein, Has anybody gone to Masjid Hussein in Cairo? And also, yeah, oh, Kiamat, you know. No, you don't have. First of all, there is only one tariqah. That's called Tariqat Muhammadiyah. The one tariqah. But there are 400 tariqahs, 40 big ones with its branches, like where the branches of Halvetiyah. There's 400 of them. One day I asked my friend, I told you that in the early in my dervish, I said, what's the mystery that there are so many tariqahs? He said, son, there is only one tariqah. For instance, he said, you are an artist, yeah? And he is a PhD in IBM. Somebody else is an accountant, you know, somebody else is a merchant, and somebody else is a soldier. Those people have different languages. You cannot, like I was saying earlier, that I wouldn't touch you if it wasn't because of the tariqat, you know, that people have certain mashrab, certain natures, you know, which somehow makes one understand a language. An artist doesn't understand the language of an accountant. Neither the accountant understands the language of an artist. Do you understand? So he said that somehow or another, with the wisdom of the tariqah, they are saying the same thing in different languages. There are different tariqahs saying exactly the same thing, you know, with different songs and different movements and different sohbets and different architecture, yeah? But saying the same thing differently to people who understand their language, yeah? For instance, if you want to, the artists and the poets and the calligraphers and the miniaturists and the musicians, you know, they opted for Mevlevia, okay? The soldiers, you know, the opted for Bektashiya, okay? The Hajis and Hojas and, you know, the Sufis, the ultra-religious ones, they opted for Naqshbandiya. And, for instance, the members of the royalty, the administration, yeah, and then opted for Halvetiya, yeah? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But precisely the speciality of Jarrahiyah, including our zikrullah, including our music, including our way of sohbet, is adapted from many sources. So we are an eclectic tariqat. So therefore we can accommodate all sorts of people. Huh? Any other questions? This was a technical question. But what I said first is the most important thing. It is not the tariqah, it is the sheikh. Because tariqah doesn't mean anything. I mean, Mevleviya is an incredible tariqah, but there hasn't been a sheikh for a long time.
Could I ask you a direct question?
Yes, yes.
You can't.
No?
You can't.
You could explain to him then.
Neymiş sual?
Yurda ere bir soru sorabilir miyim diyor.
Why can't he? Of course he can. Okay.
I can't hear today.
No, you explained it already.
I didn't explain anything.
You explained for the sheikh, from the sheikh.
What? Any other questions?
baba.
Meaning? Okay.
What you say on the preaching of the Jumu'ah, the same thing that you said about nafs mutma'inna. Nafs mutma'inna.
Yeah.
There is a beautiful dua, so you feel what you said now when you say the dua. The dua saying is, I ask my Lord, I ask Allah, a nafs mutma'inna. Who believe your meeting?
Who?
The nafs.
Yeah.
Believe in your meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I can make the translation only. وَتَرْضَ بِقَضَاءَكَ وَتَقْنَعْ بِعَطَاءَكَ. And she was convinced of what you give her.
Yeah.
First of all, the meeting, and then the qada, and the third, what he gives you to that nafs.
Well, that's more or less what I said.
This is what I'm saying. Yes. This is confirm what you said. Allahumma inni as'aluka nafsan tu'min bi liqa'ik wa tarda bi qada'ik.
You better translate that into good English.
Yeah, exactly.
Because nobody speaks Arabic yet. Good English.
Good English, what I said in the beginning.
Yeah.
She believes in your meeting, this nafs,
yes,
which is mutmainna.
Yes.
And the second thing is...
First of all, stop there. In Arabic, what is tatmin? It comes from tatmin, mutmainna, right? In short, it means self-satisfied self. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or art in rest, what he's saying in the translation.
In peace, self in peace. Yeah. But precisely to that, reach that stage, which I explained, that you have to be awake, observant, and have the faith to believe every single thing, every single action. It is sifatullah and firullah, that there is nothing else. You know, that all. So, I mean, when you see something, it is not Allah, but it is from Allah. Yeah. So, I mean, in that case, how can you not like a scorpion? Or how can you resent if a scorpion bites you? It is Allah's scorpion doing what Allah made him to do. And say, hey, Allah. Difficult. But what I propose to you is much easier to achieve. Yeah. 4 minutes for a last question. Precisely, talking about unity, we are going to print a directory of the Jarrahi Mosque community, so that, you know, people can help each other better knowing. I already did that with the Friday Jamaat, and I'm going to do that with the Sunday Jamaat. And it seems your Dar Baba tells me that we have got all this information in the computer, but me being a dummy and have no idea about what is in the computer, I want to see. I am the guy, you know, who likes to turn pages and see it in it. So I'm going to distribute this to you. And I would like you all to fill it up and also put a photograph of yours, because I mean, of course, we here know each other's face, but I want the Friday people know our faces too, and I want us to know the Friday people faces and the Sunday people's faces. And I think that if there is a doctor of the Friday community, I may choose to go to him, or there is the famous bagel maker, you know, I will buy my bagels from him, you know, etc., etc. So please fill that up and return back to us.
They can email their pictures, they don't have to.
Yes, you can email them your pictures. Use computers. You know.
Put your pictures in the cloud.
Fill it up and don't lose it. If you're going to lose it, have two, put it in different pockets.
Fotoğrafım yok diye biliyorum. And I can take their photo if they want.
So everyone should email you.
You see that?
Can we email this information also?
Yeah, for instance, you put your shop address there, and that people will come and buy from you instead of elsewhere. Yeah?
No, because you are Ahmet'in çok farklı özellikleri var. Onu karıştıramazsın sen.
Abdest tarzı değil mi?